Thank you. It's nice to be talking with you, Neil.
Well, you write recently that the electorate out there, when they're choosing a president, they don't really have a shopping list or a laundry list of things that they want in a president. Instead, they look at each candidate, and if they like their particular story, then that's who they go for. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. My first impression is that's a pretty lousy way to pick a president.
Well, Neil, I really agree with you, but the fact of the matter is that when people choose who they're going to vote for president, they're making emotional choices that reflect their values or their worldview. So just to give you an example, the Democratic worldview, there's been a study by George Lakoff called Moral Politics, and what he basically showed is Democrats want to see their party as a nurturing mother. And so they tend to be child-centric, and they want to know that their candidate has empathy and that they use words like nurture, care, protect. Whereas the Republican narrative is, the world is a dangerous place, life is difficult. And they use words, and their model is a strict father. And so the words would be things like discipline, self-reliance, individual responsibility. These are two fundamentally different ways of looking at the world.
Well, has it always been this way? If I were to look at it, and I'd love your input on this, but I would think that in a lot of ways the media has a lot to do with this, because our candidates now have to be attractive, they have to be articulate, they have to be a lot of things. Qualified doesn't necessarily mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be as important as articulate and attractive and being able to sort of tell a good story. It wasn't always this way, was it? I mean, there was a time in American history where they looked at the candidates and said, okay, who's going to best be able to lead the country?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think because of sound bites and because of the media and because of the increasing polarization in politics and on the air, this has driven two very, very different ways of approaching things. I went back and I looked at Theodore White's analysis of American presidents, and particularly his last one, which looked at it all the way up through Reagan. And I have to say, I think, when he went on the road to look at candidates running for president, a lot of it was emotional personality, but it was personality that was defined by the policies that were going to be offered or that had been completed. What really, things began to change as early as 1990 when Gingrich began to focus on words that would drive the emotions of voters. And he was doing that because America had become more polarized. And what was interesting to me is if you look at Bill Clinton, he did an ad for the Democratic Convention in 1992 called The Man from Hope, and it was his personal journey. And it was riveting. And now what Bill Clinton did was he used policy and his personal story. But by the time you get to Barack Obama, when he gave his convention speech in 2004, it has shifted almost entirely to a personal narrative, and he hasn't moved the dial away from the personal narrative since. So the question really facing American voters when they go to the polls in November is, what type of America do you want? Which man will be more capable of turning the economy around and making a difference? And unfortunately, I think a lot of what's going to drive voter preferences are going to be how they feel about the candidate, or possibly how they feel about the economy and the likelihood that they feel one candidate or another could improve not only the nation's economy, but their personal situation.
Right. And that kind of gets us back to the shopping list. The shopping list and the personal or the appeal of the personal narrative, those things are not necessarily mutually exclusive. I mean, there is a lot of emotion attached to real issues and substantive issues that we have that, that need to be fixed. Wouldn't you
agree?
That's
correct. And but what I found interesting, I did go back and I looked at the convention speeches, which were really cheerleading sessions, but they're trying to put forward their notion. And so the arguments that would, for instance, that Romney would make is, are you better off? And America must make a choice. And some people have said it was very Reagan-esque, and that it was because Reagan asked the question when he was competing with Jimmy Carter's, "Are you better off than you were 4 years ago?" Now the Barack Obama narrative is really saying that you have two different paths or choices for America, and is it the choice of an affluent America or a choice of a people-driven America? But the real question for me is, given the amount of ads that are being perpetuated out there by both sides, are their narratives going to be the ones that really drive the election, or is it going to be the attack ads that are really trying to influence the emotions of the voters?
One last question, Dr. Sheets, because we are getting close on our time here. But isn't there some danger in simply basing our decision on emotion or an appeal to a personal story or the charisma of the personal candidate? And I'm not making any comparisons of any candidate to history here, but that's how Hitler rose. He had a lot of charisma. He told a great story. But people didn't really know what they were getting. Isn't there some danger when we get to the point where we're just relying on a charismatic leader who tells a good story?
I think there's an enormous danger, and I personally wish that we would go back to hard policy and get the Americans to make those difficult choices. Now, the fact of the matter is they have had a president in power for 4 years, and the question they have to really ask themselves is, what is he going to do differently that would change my situation or the situation in America? And then can Mitt Romney make a difference? Can he really turn around the economy? Does his business or economic experience really indicate where he could take America? I wish that we would move away from the personal narrative back to policy. But they know they've done a lot of cognitive studies, and what they indicate is emotions rule.
All right, our guest, Dr. Diana Sheets. Her website is literarygulag.com. Dr. Sheets, thank you so much. This has been a great discussion today.
Thank you, Neil. I enjoyed talking with you.